chapter 7. I'll try to preach quick, preach fast. I know when preachers say that, you kind of take it with a grain of salt. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 24 and 25. We'll read this and then we'll get into the message. The Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for this message, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your book, Lord, and be able to meet together tonight, Lord, with these brethren, Lord, that are wanting to hear something from your word. They don't want my opinion, Lord, so I pray that you guide my lips, Lord, to help me to say something. Say what you want me to say, Lord, and hold back anything that I shouldn't say, Lord. I pray that you'll be honored and glorified through the message, Lord. I pray you'll speak to their hearts, Lord, that they can get something from it, use it to be a better servant, better soldier for you, Lord. And we're looking forward to you coming back. We pray it'll be soon. Help us to be faithful until then, Lord. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, most of you have heard this parable before, with Jesus giving this parable about two men. One was a wise man and one was a foolish man. And the wise man built his house upon a rock, and the foolish man built it upon the sand. And tonight, we'll come back here, but tonight I'm going to be preaching about the storms of life. And as Christians, we're going to go through some storms in our life. And whether they're big or small, you know, people that they lose family members, they lose loved ones. Those are big storms that they have to go through. And when you see a Christian go through it the right way and that they continue serving the Lord, then it'll be a blessing to you, and you realize, well, my problems aren't as bad and they stuck through it, so I can get through it. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Yeah, Matthew chapter 14. Look at verse 22. Okay, thank you. Matthew 14, look at verse 22. This is Jesus Christ, and the disciples are on the ship, and Jesus Christ is when Jesus Christ is going to be walking on the water. The Bible says, verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." So this is a story about Jesus, the disciples on a ship in the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes, and this storm is a really bad storm, and they think they're gonna overturn. But if you notice that Jesus Christ told them to get in the ship and go to the other side, and they told them that if they believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and the Messiah, and that his words could not be broken, and they heard him say, "You're going to make it to the other side," then they wouldn't have been worried. Right. And when God tells us in his book that we're going to make it, no matter how bad our life might be, we're going to make it. But then why do Christians still worry about these small little things? And I want to show you some things about storms. And the first thing I want to show you is, where do storms come from? And Christians these days, I take that lightly, Christians, they don't believe that God makes storms. They believe that, they say that the devil is the one who makes bad things, and God makes the good things. God gives us blessings, and the devil is the one who curses. But that's not always true, and especially in the Bible, God is the one who's sending judgment and sending storms. And God is the one who told the Israelites, He told Joshua, hey, go into Israel and conquer those people and kill every last one of them. God. That wasn't the devil saying, go and get them. God was saying, you're going to conquer them. And we're not in the Old Testament, so God doesn't tell us to go and kill people like that, but we're in a spiritual kingdom now. But so the first thing I want to show you is, notice it says, verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go to the other side. So notice, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, he knew there was going to be a storm, and he sent them into that storm. And he knew they were going to go through that storm. So sometimes God sends us into a storm, and he knows you're going to make it all right, but I'm going to send you into it. And we'll talk about why he does that sometimes. In Jonah 1:4, it says that God sent that storm for Jonah. Jonah was running away from the Lord. And it says he thought he could get away from the presence of the Lord. But he couldn't. And once that storm came up, he knew. He told those people on the ship, he said, this is me. I've done wrong. I'm running from the Lord. And those people, they said, okay, well, get out then. They had some brains, and they knew, well, this God can do this, and we don't want you on our ship anymore. You don't have to turn there, but in Psalms 89, I should have marked it, 89 verse 9, the Bible says, thou rulest the rate, speaking of the Lord, thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. So he rules the raging of the sea. So out there, we're pretty close to Lake Ontario. You get out in the middle of Lake Ontario during a storm, it's like being on the ocean. Maybe the waves aren't as big as the ocean, but you're out there and you can't see land on either side, and there's a storm. That's a scary thing. And but it says God rules that the raging of the sea. Psalms 107, verse 29. Again, I'll just read it. 107, verse 29. The Bible says, he, speaking of the Lord, he maketh the storm a calm. So, but notice he says, he maketh the storm. So he can choose if he's going to make the storm raging or if he's going to make the storm calm. But what I want to show you is that God's the one who's making the storm. And the second thing I want to show you is what happens in storms. Why do we have to go through storms as Christians? Turn with me to the book of Job. A man, if you're familiar with him, a man that went through a lot of storms his entire life. And until the final chapters of his life did he even have some positive things happen to him. But turn to Job 37. Job 37. Look at verse 13. Again, the Lord, speaking of the Lord, he causeth it, the it is a storm, he causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. And you guys are out in farm country, a lot of you probably have some crops that you grow, so you realize that Christian farmers that are Bible believers, that are in that book and serving the Lord, they'll pray for rain. And they'll be praying and asking the Lord for their crops to grow. And so, notice it says for his land. So he sends storms in for his land. But sometimes he sends it in for correction. Sometimes as a Christian, you get off on the wrong path, and the Lord's got to correct you and get you back on the right path. So he sends a storm. And then sometimes it's for mercy. And when you go through a storm, and you get through that storm, and you look back, and you see it in the behind you, and you thank the Lord for His mercy for getting you out of there, and you realize, thank you, Lord, I couldn't have make it out of there. If I was lost, I can't imagine lost people losing loved ones, what they have to go through, because they don't, like I was talking about the drugs, they don't have anything to run to. We have a refuge to run to when we go through a storm. And so we look back, And we thank the Lord and say, well, thank you, I can run to you. Thank you for getting me through that storm. So we realize sometimes it's for His mercy. Look at Job 21 with me. Job 21, verse 18. The Bible says, they are as stubble before the wind and as chaff that the storm, notice, that the storm carrieth away. So sometimes as a Christian, you have something on you. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's something that's hindering your fellowship with Jesus Christ. And it's on you and it's clinging to you and it's holding you back. It's holding you down. And a storm comes and just carries it away. Yeah. Takes it away. Amen. So sometimes they have an illustration about a Christian when he first gets saved. He's just a block of ice. And God comes and He has to chisel us out. And you make it into a sculpture. Amen. And we're never going to be a sculpture until we get to heaven and we get our new bodies. But that chisel, if that ice could have feelings, it wouldn't be good feelings. Right. It would hurt. That's good, right? And that chisel hammering that ice, it hurts. Right. And so when God comes down and He starts chiseling, and we're the ones who ask for it. Right. We're the ones who say, Lord, I want Your blessings. I want to be blessed by You. And the Lord says, okay. Oh, all right. And He brings the chisel down and you're like, oh, okay, I didn't mean that. But He brings the chisel down and He starts chiseling away some things. And that storm carries away some things. Look at with me at Job chapter 27, verse 21. This is similar to that verse. The Bible says, the east wind carrieth him away and he departeth, and as a storm hurleth him out of his place. Aren't you grateful for some storms that hurl you out of the wrong place? As a Christian, you get off and you get out in the world and you're experiencing the world and you're having fun. And then all of a sudden, a loved one dies. All of a sudden, your wife gets sick. Your kids get sick. You lose your job. Something happens. And you step back and you kind of settle down and you're saying, okay, why is this happening? And then eventually, you start looking up, and you're saying, okay, I remember back in Sunday school how he said that God will chase us because He loves us, and He'll chase after us when we get away from Him. But notice it says it hurleth him out of his place. So I don't know if there's many tornadoes here in this area, but in Ohio there's a few tornadoes that have happened. But you think of a tornado, it hurls things out of its place. And so God sends a tornado down in our life to get us back, and it'll hurl us out of the wrong place. And thank God for that He won't just leave us alone. That's the worst thing that can happen to you as a Christian, that God just leaves you alone, puts you on the shelf, and He says, okay, you want to go live like a devil? Go ahead. That's the worst thing that could happen. Then it's all downhill from there. And it's only by the grace of God if you come back from that. But when God is actually chastening you and the conviction is still warm and you're not lukewarm yet, but you're still a little warm and God's still chasing you and the Holy Spirit's still convicting you and you can still hear the voice of the Lord, you can still get right. Look at with me in Isaiah chapter 25. This is another reason why storms come. Isaiah chapter 25. Look at verse 4. Amen. The Bible says, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress. Look at it. A refuge from the storm. So sometimes as Christians, we're going through, it's a good thing, nothing bad has happened, and we have a nice job, and the family's well, and just everything's happy-go-lucky, and we're just walking, and we don't even realize how far we're away from the Lord, because we don't have any trouble. And then God sends some trouble, and it reminds us that we have a refuge to run to. When you're out there, and you're on dancing around on rainbows, and it's all sunshine, and it's all happy and there's nothing going on, then you don't have to run to that refuge.
Who's going to run to a refuge when it's sunny out? You run indoors when it starts raining, when there's a storm. When there's a tornado, you run to a shelter. You run to a refuge. So God just wants us, hey, I just want you to remember that you got to, I'm your refuge. And so, and He sends a storm, and then you're like, okay, I'm running to You, Lord. Thanks for reminding me. But those are some of the reasons why we have storms. And then the last thing I want to show you is, what are we supposed to do as Christians when we have storms in our life? Look at with me at, back at Psalms. Psalms chapter 83. Job is a perfect example of what Christians are supposed to do. A lot of Christians don't like to read Job because it's so negative and there's so much bad things in it. But it, as a Christian, it's a good book to read. When you're going through some troubles, when you're going through a storm, open up that book to Job and read what he went through. Losing his whole family in one day. His health lost in one day. And if it wasn't by the grace of God, the devil would have killed him. And God said, no, you can't have him. He's mine. And his wife even said, curse God and die. I mean, if he loved his wife at all, then he'd actually, it would be hard for him to say, whatever. She's a wicked woman, Jezebel or whatever. But if he loved his wife and actually wanted advice from her, and then she says, curse God and die. And he's like, oof, man. But then he says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what we have to say as Christians. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whether he's taken or whether he's given. Psalms 83 verse 15. Bible says, so persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. So what are we supposed to do in a storm? We're supposed to have godly fear. This isn't a fear. The Bible says you're not supposed to fear man. You're not supposed to have fear about different things in the world, but you're supposed to have a godly fear. And when you're sinning, you're not fearing God. And when you realize the terror, Paul talks about the terror of the Lord being the judgment seat of Christ. When you look at that, it'll keep you from sin. You realize how terrible it's going to be. But that's one thing you need to do is fear. The next thing you want to do throughout the entire Bible when these people went through storms, you look at Job, what he did, it says that he repented in dust and ashes. When all that happened, he sat down and he poured dust and ashes on himself and he repented. So he humbled himself. So what are we supposed to do as Christians when we go through storms? Maybe sometimes we're getting a little too high. We have some pride building up in us. And the Lord has to remind us we're just grass. And He just reminds us something. And then we have to humble ourselves. And the Bible talks about, throughout the whole Bible, it talks about being humble. And that God will bless the humble. And He'll reject the prideful. And you see when people in the Bible go through storms, when they go through hardships, the ones that turned out and did something for the Lord, they humbled themselves at that time. They didn't get up and say, you lose a loved one and you point your fist to God and say, why'd you take him? Yeah. No, you humble yourself and say, okay, Lord, there must be a reason why you did that. Maybe someone will get saved at their funeral. Maybe someone will get right. I don't know why you did it. I can't see it. But you did it for some reason. And turn with me back to Matthew. We'll look at that where we first started. Matthew chapter 7. Or, I apologize. Matthew chapter 14. Find Matthew. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse 26. The Bible says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled away. It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. There's another place in a different account of this where it says Jesus Christ would have kept on walking. I think that's real crazy to think that Jesus Christ would have just kept on walking. He wasn't out there just to go get the disciples. But because the disciples cried out and said something, that's when he turned.
Right.
And the Lord would have just kept walking. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So as Christians, we need to be like Peter, but we need to be like Peter at the very beginning. And when we're going through a storm and we go out on, we take a leap of faith, and when we get out there, we're in a storm, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Remember Him. Remember Him when you get weary. Remember Him, what He went through. And you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. But notice, Peter didn't sink when he was looking at Jesus Christ. Peter sank when he took his eyes off Jesus Christ. And he's walking on the water and he sees some, maybe he hears the light, the thunder, and he sees some lightning and the waves are getting big and he thinks he's going to sink. So he looks and it scares him and then he sinks. But you need to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ when you're going through a storm. Maybe something will blindside you and you won't be expecting it, like Job. Job just got it one after another. And he's going through a storm and then another storm comes.
Yeah, right.
And it takes your eyes off. And we're gonna take our eyes off the Lord ever so often.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, our flesh is just as grass. And we're just sinners. So we're going to look to other things. And we're going to go to the world and go to different things that we like to go to when we go through storms. Maybe counselors. But we need to always look back unto Jesus Christ. Get your eyes on Jesus Christ and you won't sink. But if we do start sinking, because like I said, we're just sinners, and you start sinking, then you just cry out and say, Lord, save me. We're already saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but you could cry out to Him and say, Lord, I'm sinking. I'm sinking. My fellowship isn't as good as it should be. Help me. Help me, Lord. And the Bible says if we walk in the light, we can have fellowship with Him. So you walk in the light, you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ during that storm, you'll make it through that storm. I wonder if Peter would have kept his eyes on Jesus Christ if he would have made it to Jesus Christ. He would have. He would have just kept on walking, and then Jesus Christ would have greeted him. Then they could have walked together. But he took his eyes off Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 27. Yeah, I want to show you this real quick. Acts chapter 27. This is during Paul, and he gets on a ship, I think going to, I want to say Rome, I might be incorrect, but he has a shipwreck, and again, the Lord told him that you're all going to make it. And he even told the captain, he said, don't worry, we're going to go down, but we're all going to make it.
Amen.
So the negative, then the positive. So we're definitely going to crash the ship, but we're all going to make it. Look at verse 41 of chapter 27. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. Notice this verse, verse 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped, what's the word?
All
safe to land. So as Christians, you can apply that verse to us, that, yeah, some people are going to go on little pieces of board, some are going to go on a ship in, and some people are going to go on some broken pieces. Maybe some people will just be guiding in by the littlest piece of wood, but they'll still get in.
Amen.
That song says that
some will get through the water, some will go through the water, some will go through the flood, but all will go through the blood.
Amen.
We're all going to make it. Whether whatever storms you go through, some Christians will go through some hard stuff. Some Christians won't have to go in through anything. But we're all going to make it to heaven.
Amen.
We're all going to make it to that land.
Amen.
And then I'll close with that passage in Matthew chapter 14. This is mostly for people that have trusted Jesus Christ and are saved. And when they go through a storm, they can run to Jesus Christ. But when you're lost and you go through something, because lost people go through storms also. We're not the only ones that go through stuff. But when you're lost, you don't have a refuge to run to. You don't have a Savior. So notice, I want you to see back at that passage, Matthew 7, 24 and 25. Look at verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So
a man down here will build his house, and he'll build his salvation on religion, and he'll do all these good things, and he thinks that he's okay, but all he's doing is building on sand. And if you've ever done construction, you know building on sand is not going to last. You got to build on a rock. You got to have a foundation. We have a foundation. We're built on Jesus Christ. We don't trust in ourselves. We don't trust in our works. We trust in Jesus Christ. And we're built on Him. So when the storm comes, when the final storm of death comes, and we stand before God, we don't have to worry. You just tell God, hey, I was built on the rock. I wasn't built on sand. But when a lost person stands before God, prepare to meet thy God, he stands before God, and God says, what did you build your life on? And he says, well, I was a good person. I went to Mass. I was a good I gave to the poor. And he says, that's just all sand. And when that final storm comes, it's going to, as it says, blow it away. Beat upon it. Great was the fall of it. So if you're lost today, then and your house, your life, your salvation is not built on Jesus Christ, then it's going to fall one day. And you're going to fall into hell, an eternal lake of fire. But praise the Lord, if you're saved here and you built your foundation on the rock, then you're okay and you're safe and you're going to make it through the storm. But when you're going through a storm, if you're going through a storm this evening, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and realize Christians have gone through it before. We're not the only ones who have gone through this stuff. And Christians have made it before. Christians have been persecuted, been burned at the stake for this book. And we don't have that kind of persecution. So praise the Lord. If you can go through the storm the right way, you could glorify God. And you'll give God the glory if you go through the right way. So Christian, if you're going through a storm, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray you will bless this evening, Lord. Pray for the Christians here that heard the words, Lord. I pray that you'll help them, Lord, if anyone's going through a storm this evening, Lord, that they might keep their eyes on you, Lord, and run to you as a refuge, Lord. I thank you for being